share an opportunity with you. First of all, I want to thank all of you who continually give and bless for Mission Botswana. There are those of you that sow through the offering. We've got a pretty good amount in our change jar up here. Some people have a different definition of change. Folding green. But you know what? We're not going to reject it. We'll take it. We'll take it. So praise God for that. You're changing lives. What is it, about 10,000 miles away? Is that about right? 8 or 9, you know, something like that. Quite a ways away. You're making a difference. I don't know if any of you have had an opportunity to look up here. I put some pictures, but there are some funds that we sent recently. And, where did they go? They're not here. I'll find them. We bought some uniforms and books and things for some of these guys for school. They have to wear the uniform, and they get in trouble if they don't have it, and they're not cheap. And so we were able to invest in their lives. I'll get the pictures out, smiles on their faces. I mean, it's such a blessing to know that we're changing lives. The church is giving. As you give, there's a certain amount that we're sending every month, but we're going to open up a new opportunity for our Maun chapter of Lifeguard Trust, which is where we're taking care of some of the kids that are disadvantaged, you know, less fortunate. And I've got 3 of them up here right now, and we're going to open up an opportunity for you, if you're interested, to sponsor a kid. Because I believe that's going to let us go further in being able to open that up. Right now we have, I think, 6 there in Maun that Kimpo left in the trust of a young man to minister to in his absence. And I've got 3 of them right here. And it grips your heart to see, looking at Moabi. He's 15 years old, and I'm not going to read all of this on tape, on camera, but if you have the opportunity just to come and see what they live with, what they live without, and the opportunity that you have to be a blessing. Sponsoring would involve a monthly amount, as well as agreeing to pray for them and cover them every day, call their name before the Lord and lift them up. And then if there are special things in their lives that they need, something they want to do, you would have the opportunity to make that happen. So I want to challenge you to search your heart, see if this is something God would have you to do. I'm sure there are people right down the street here that need the same attention. The important thing is that we look where God directs us. And this is something that He has directed us to. And when we all obey, everything will be covered. But when we try to do it our way, I'm not giving to Africa. I want to give right here. Well, if that's God's heart for you, that's great. But we got to look where God has, what He has put in front of us. And we have an opportunity to sow there and reap a harvest here that will allow us to be a blessing everywhere. And this is a tremendous opportunity. These are some amazing guys. We're getting praise reports back from their parents saying, what are you doing with my kid? He's respectful at home now. He's minding. He's doing his chores. I think one parent said, maybe you should foster these children. Let them live with you for a while. But that's quite a testimony when you're looking at teenage guys and the parents are seeing a difference at home with nobody there to tell them this is how you have to live. Their lives are being changed, and it's because of you. Pictures of food that we've bought, toiletries, all kinds of things to be a blessing to these kids. So if you are interested in sponsoring one of these kids, if you already know tonight it's something that you want to do, it takes so little to be a blessing to these guys. And if you're interested, please see me. And you can look at these and see who God puts on your heart. And as these are taken and other people are interested, then, you know, we can look at opening things up and see where God takes it. But it's an exciting opportunity, and it's just going to grow from here. So I challenge you to get in on it and get blessed. Amen. Oh, thank you, Father. God, I thank you for this time that we can come before you and learn of you, to sit at your feet and allow the Holy Spirit, the teacher, to show us more of you, of your will, your plan, your purpose, the way that you make it all work together, Father. We submit to you tonight to be hearers of what the Holy Spirit would say to our hearts, Father, to have the eyes of our understanding opened, to receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Father, to know beyond our knowledge and experience, but in our spirit by revelation. We are listening tonight, Father, and I thank you that you are making of us a mighty people. Father, you're preparing us to handle the influx of the souls, Father, of the lives of the people from the great awakening that you're stirring even now. God, we desire to be a part. And we just ask that you use us for your glory, Father, to change lives, to be a blessing. Father, you have prepared us as a body to do your will. And we submit to that tonight, to that equipping and that preparation. Thank you, Father. And everyone that agreed said amen. 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 We are still talking about outreach. How many of you enjoyed the teaching that we've had so far, the insight, the information, the opportunities to go out? It's been good. There's so many components to it. And I just want to bring out a component tonight that God pointed out to me. I've talked to ministers and some of the leaders about it. And it's an interesting topic. And I have to say I'm a little humbled to stand before you and talk about it a little bit. I'm not going to teach it greatly tonight, but we're going to talk just a little bit about it and then step into it as a body. Don't you like that? We talk about it and then we do it. Yes. Let's do it. You don't have to go home and figure out how to do it by yourself. Amen. What I'm talking about is intercession. This is one of the many methods of prayer that you find in the Word of God that we are encouraged to take part in. There are different levels, different ways. So we're going to talk just a little bit about it. How many of you are familiar with that subject on any level? You've heard the word before, or maybe you've spent hours in your prayer closet. Somewhere in between. I think we're all somewhere in between. Amen? The end of January of this year, God said to me during a prayer time in the office, he said, it's time to start birthing some things. And then on February the 10th, God told me that I would be teaching on intercession. So know that that's going to come about in the future. I don't know when, not until God says, okay, go. So I'm listening for that, but just know that that's going to be coming. And we're going to talk just a little bit about it tonight. I was talking to Sister Lou about this, and you go into some churches, a lot of churches, majority of churches, I would say, don't even know what it is, unless they were part of an old-time Pentecostal church a lot of years ago. But, you know, it's not really a spooky thing. When you think about the fact that the Word says that we have a high priest, Jesus, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He feels what we feel. And he takes it before the Father and he pleads our case. He intercedes on our behalf. But then he gives us the opportunity to bear one another's burdens. And sometimes when you're going into intercession, you're feeling what someone else is feeling. Maybe you're feeling their pain. God is allowing you to stand in the ministry that our Redeemer does and carry something before him. Because, you know, God doesn't do anything in the earth without using us. Because he's given us dominion, so he uses us. So sometimes that intercession is God sharing one of those burdens with us so that we can cover it in prayer and see the victory in that situation. So don't get too weirded out if you hear others talk about it. If you hear it, you know, when you're hearing it taught here, it's not weird. It's not strange. It's just taking the heart of God and praying something and decreeing something into the earth that takes a bad situation and makes it good. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to give you just a little bit of background on me. Well, we've been here for a long time, but I don't think this is something I've talked about a lot. When I was young, I guess I was around. Am I too loud? Is that ringing or anything? It just feels really loud up here. Okay, sorry. When I was pretty young, I guess around 8 or 12, it's a long time ago, I sat under the teaching of a couple by the name of Mom and Dad Goodwin. Anybody heard of them? They were mentors to Kenneth Hagin when he first became spirit-filled. They mentored him, spoke into his life. While they were living close to us, Brother Hagin would frequently come to their home and just spend a week with them in prayer and study. They also spoke into the life of John Osteen, Joel Osteen's father, brought him up in some things. Dad Goodwin studied extensively on the flow of the gifts of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And Mom and Dad Goodwin were fascinating to watch. I've never seen anyone flow like they did. They also mentored Brother Larry Huggins. I think most of you have heard of him. And when they would minister in the gifts, Dad Goodwin would stand in the corner and stare at the wall and just pray in the spirit. And Mom would give a word, and she would gesture, and then she would walk this way and walk that way, and she would, you know, just really show with her hands and gestures, articulate what she was saying. And then she would turn around and go and stand in the corner, and Dad Goodwin would come out, and he would give the interpretation. She would be giving a message in tongues, and he would give the interpretation, and he would do every single gesture, every single movement, walk to the left, walk to the right. There was such a unity in what they did, and it was always very on point. If they said it, it happened. They had a very high record of getting it right, if you will. So they were well respected in this. And a lot of the people that they would lay hands on and minister to would flow much like they did. I've heard Brother Larry say that quite often when he ministers, when he prophesies, he does it in rhyme. And that's what Mom and Dad Goodwin did. Just about everything that they would say would rhyme. And so it was just kind of that flow. And as they would lay hands on people and impart whatever of the Holy Spirit was within them, we would see them flow in the same way. And so for about 3 or 4 years, I sat under their teaching. They had retired, and they came alongside a young pastor to help him start a church in Gilmer, which is close to Longview, which is close to Tyler, might be a city you've heard of now. And so that there were several years there, and I remember sitting on the floor, because it was a home church when it started. We were just in their living room, so I'm sitting on the floor just taking it all in. Remember, Mom and Dad wouldn't let me go play in the backyard while the word was taught. I had to sit and listen. It's important that our kids sit in and listen on what we're doing, because they need to pick up the torch, and they're probably going to start doing the things that we've done much younger than us. And I'm excited about that. I want to see that happen. I'm not going to feel threatened at all. I'm going to say, I'm not stopping running, but come on. Come on, amen? So as I would sit and listen to them teach, I was learning about the gifts of the Spirit. So now when I listen to Brother Hagin, who I never really followed him, but when I listen to him teach, it's like, I know that. I know that. Where did I learn that? And I remember those years of sitting at their feet and taking those things in. And so it's in me, even though maybe I haven't articulated it, found scripture and verse. So those are the things that God is working in me right now. But I remember Mom Goodwin talking about flowing in intercession. And it was never a weird thing to me because I grew up with it. And one particular time that she talked about, God would wake her up in the middle of the night, and she would just feel that tug to pray. You know, it wasn't anything weird. It's just like, okay, I'm not sure why I'm awake. There's nothing wrong. So God, what's up? Yep, sure enough. Okay, I need to pray. And she would pray, and she would intercede. She would pray in tongues because she didn't know what she was praying for. Remember in Romans, it says when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit helps us. And so she would pray in the Spirit. And this particular time, there was a burden, and she prayed until she felt peace. She had a release. The next morning, she got a phone call that one of her relatives had been in a severe car accident. I think it was a nephew. I could be wrong. But the car had rolled It was awful. They had to cut them out and pull them out. But when they got them out of the vehicle, they stood up and they were fine. They walked away. And she knew immediately that God had called her away to cover this relative and take care of them and go before them so that there was no injury. So that's just one of the many stories of the benefits of intercession that I would sit and listen to. And then in my later teen years, I began to be used in intercession. I would just feel that tug, like, you need to pray. And I would go away and pray, and sometimes there would be tears. It would feel intense, and then there would be a release and peace, and sometimes I knew what it was, and sometimes I didn't. That's a form of intercession, and that's something that I float in. Not, you know, I just didn't really think it was any big deal, like, doesn't everybody? But I realized, no, and everyone doesn't. But it's not an office. It's not like you can make a business card and say, I have the ministry of intercession. It's something that anyone can submit to. Is it something that everybody's going to do all the time? No. Why? Because we are a body with many members and many parts. We all have a different part to play. God may call some of us to do that more often than others. Why? I don't know. I'll let him be the head, and I'm not going to worry about it. I just want to be used wherever. And sometimes when you don't know of a possibility, you miss the opportunity. So I just want you to be aware of what's available there. When you talk about intercession, you also hear a word called travail or birthing. Sometimes intercession is about birthing something new. That was one thing that God showed me about our ministry in Africa. There was a lot of birthing that I did, travail, intercession, to bringing about a new ministry, something new for us. Sometimes it's for other people. God may call you to intercede for Sister Lou in a ministry that he's called her to. He may call you to intercede for the president. There are many facets of our life that need covering with prayer. And we cover those things with petitions, with what we know, with declaration. Father, you said that the heart of the king, the heart of our president is in your hand, and you turn it according to your will. We know what to pray there. But sometimes there may be a situation that we don't know what's going on. There's something going on with my president. I don't know what it is, but God, I submit to you. Use me to cover. And then you just begin to pray in the Spirit, and he may take you into intercession, or he may just let you pray for a little bit and you're done. But the key is yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to pray through us what he will. You know, tongues does many things for us. When we pray in the Spirit, what? We're building ourselves up, right? So sometimes when you're praying in the Spirit, sometimes you may need to go to God and say, okay, I need a recharge right now, God. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit and strengthen me. We know in Acts it says that they heard him praying with tongues on the day of Pentecost, and what were they doing? They heard them praising and glorifying God. Sometimes when you get to the end of your words in praise and worship, you start praying in the Spirit because there's just not anything else that you can say that's any more fabulous than what you've already said. And praying in the Spirit takes you to another place in worship. But praying in the Spirit is also a way of covering and loving in the Spirit. There was a prophecy that was given by Dad Hagen. It's been a long time ago, but it struck a chord with me. And I believe he was talking about our times. And if you don't mind, if you bear with me, it's a little over a minute long. I would like for us to hear that word, if we can, please. Folks upstairs, thank you very much.
Spirit of God within my spirit saying, the end of the age, the end of this age is coming upon this generation. The powers of darkness, the forces of evil, are rampant as never before and will be increased in intensity and velocity. And many even Christians will see and look upon those things and say there's no use and throw up their hands in futility and say, well, I guess it's all over. We'll just have to hold on and pray that Jesus will come shortly, for the devil's about to take over everything. But thus saith the Lord, in this day, I'm searching through the body of Christ to enlist soldiers in the army of prayer. And I'll raise up a new band. I'll raise up a new army that'll know how to intercede against the powers of darkness. And the light will dispel the darkness. And the truth will set men free. And prayer and intercession will break the bands that bind men's minds and spirits and bodies. Yea, there are those that will learn to take their place. And hurriedly it must be. Hurriedly it must be. Quickly it must be. That they learn and that they enter in quickly to stand against the forces of darkness and evil that would come against your land, that will come against the church, that would come against the home, that would disrupt and destroy all that is good and that God has endorsed. But the hand of the Lord is upon those who will listen. And the urge of God is in the spirit of those who are attentive. And the Spirit of God will help you to pray. Do not try to do it yourself, though there must be labor on your part. Yet at the same time, rest in Him and let the Spirit flow through you like a river, like a mighty wave. Let it flow through you. Give vent unto those innermost groanings and let them escape your lips. Take time to get alone and to wait. Sometimes not even say anything, but on the inside of you there is an agonizing flowing out of your spirit by the Holy Spirit to the great Spirit, the Father of spirits. And thou shalt be sustained, and thou shalt be kept. Thy family and thy home shall be sure and steadfast, and thy children shall grow up strong and stalwart in the Lord, and thou shalt have no fear, but thou shalt intercede for thy neighbor here. Thou shalt intercede for thy friend there. Thou shalt intercede for those even in the church who have not come to the knowledge of the truth, making sincere intercession on their behalf. And so the light will shine, the work of God shall go forth, and the work that is to be accomplished in these next few days and years that are just ahead of you shall surely come because you were faithful.
Amen. Amen.
That's what the Spirit of God is saying.
Thank you.
That's what the Spirit
you
of God
can turn
is
it
saying.
Off now. So we want to be found faithful, amen, in doing what God would put before us. Romans 8:26, most of you are familiar with. It talks about the Spirit Himself helps our infirmities. Some understanding there, when it talks about the helper, it's a Greek word that's basically made up of three Greek words, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit comes together to take hold of, with, against. So the Holy Spirit is coming alongside you to take hold of the will of God and pray it out against what the enemy wants to do. And the Holy Spirit is our helper in that. The Holy Spirit doesn't do it, okay? He helps us. What happens if no one is willing to go in that place of prayer? Can God do it without that? No. He has established this as an order in the church that we pray and the Holy Spirit helps us. So we have to be willing to initiate that, to humble ourselves and to seek His face and to pray, and then we watch Him bring about the results as we do that. I have a story and two scriptures, and then I'm done. How many of you have heard of Charles Finney? I am not a historian, so I don't have dates or places or anything like that, but I know that studies have borne out that when they looked at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years out after his revivals, he had an 80% rate of those who stayed with the Lord. I think the next closest, I don't remember the name of the revivalist, but the next closest was about 50%. In other words, how many people stuck? You know, you came, you got saved, it was exciting, but did you go on with the Lord? Did you continue? And he had about an 80% rate, which is pretty good. But what a lot of people don't know is that he had someone that he would send into each place that he was going about 3 weeks before he went, and that was Father Nash. And he would look for 2, 3, maybe 4 folks who would join in covenant with him to pray and to cover for that revival. And they would spend hours and hours and hours every day praying and interceding for souls to be brought into the kingdom. You never saw him at the revival. He never stood up front and took a bow. You never heard his name, but he was faithful there in covering and interceding. You know, Isaiah chapter 66 talks about when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. When someone is willing to intercede, that's what this has to do with our outreach right now, okay? That's our tie-in right there, because we want to bring souls in. But the intercession and the travail to bring them in the Spirit is what lets us actually see their bodies come through the door. So I'm putting a call out tonight, who is willing to spend some time. Maybe you only have 30 minutes a day. If you give what you have, God will make very much of it. Amen? He is able to do that. He didn't tell us it has to be at least 8 hours or it doesn't count. He just said yield. Yield yourself at some point somewhere. Ephesians 6:18. There's a lot of scripture, but I'm not going to get into it tonight. This is the last one. After he's talked about putting on the whole armor of God, he says, "And then with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." So there is a concept there of watchfulness, that as you pray in the Spirit, you're watching, you're looking, God, what would you have me to cover? And you may say, God, I want to cover our outreach. But then he may take you, as the rest of that verse says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Brother John is an evangelist. God may want you to cover him, that he would have the boldness that is needed so that when he encounters groups of people, large groups of people, God opens doors of utterance, and he's trained us to come alongside him and help him out, right? But that prayer ahead of time is what helps prepare him. What is God having you to cover? Maybe you're praying for the souls. Maybe you're praying for the people that go, that they would have boldness and wisdom. Maybe you're praying that the church would be prepared so that when the masses come in, we're ready. Yeah, how many of you know what it's like to bring a new baby in the house? One new baby, two new babies. It's overwhelming, is it not? What happens when 15, 20, 30, 40 come in? Oh, it's coming. I know you've heard it for a long time. I hope you haven't grown weary of it. It is coming because God said, and he doesn't lie. But that prayer that you do ahead of time can cover so many different things, covering the ground that we sow into. So not everybody functions to cover the same thing. You've got to be watchful, as Ephesians said. And when you start praying, God may show you you're covering this. He may say you're covering downtown Austin, and you're covering Botswana. We don't always know. It's an adventure. But we got to start somewhere. Amen. Sister Lou, you gave me a book with a bicycle on it. And that's what I've started using, making my notes on intercession, because you can't steer a bicycle until it starts moving. So once we start moving, God is able to direct us on what we're covering, what it is. Isaiah 6, remember where Isaiah had his vision and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and God said, who will go, and went through all of his stuff. And eventually he said, here am I, Lord, send me. You may be called to go into the streets. God may put it in your heart to accompany Brother John on a huge evangelistic mission. Or he may send you next door to your neighbor to share his love. But understand that he may also send you to your prayer closet to pray and to love and to cover in the Spirit. I want to be equipped and ready that wherever he sends me, I'm ready to function there. I may understand what intercession is and be willing and ready and submit myself. And he may say, what are you doing in this closet, girl? Get over there and tell that person I love him. It could happen. But we want to be ready. If the Holy Spirit wants to, needs to use us, we're willing. And we've learned some things about it. So, one thing that we've started is prayer on Sunday mornings. How many of you have noticed? It's not just for the ministers. We haven't really announced it, but it's open to anyone who just wants to come up and agree for the flow of the assembly that day. So I challenge you, if you want to come up and pray with us for a few minutes, you can walk, you can stand with us, whatever you want to do. But come up and spend some time in prayer. Because that helps prepare your heart, and it helps prepare the ground. It helps open and change the atmosphere so that what God wants to be done can be done. Amen. Right now, what I would like for everyone to do, if you would please, is to stand with me. We're just going to take a few minutes. We're not going to tarry, you know, for 2 or 3 hours. Not tonight. Unless the Holy Spirit leads, and we know that for sure. But I'm going to ask you to all to come down here. And let's just kind of gather in a circle. Please. We have some more things coming up in terms of outreach through what we are doing in evangelism and what's being taught, as well as what's happening in Botswana, everywhere that God would send us. Many facets, many things, many people involved right now in the ministry and what's going on. And I want us to spend just a few minutes submitting ourselves to be used to cover that. Are you willing to do that? Now, I'm going to start us off like I generally start off when I start praying. And that is submitting myself to God and telling him what is in my heart to do. And then from there, you just begin to pray in the Spirit and let him lead you. Okay? We're not talking about anything weird. We're just talking about covering in the Spirit what God is doing in the body. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you that you've given us this awesome opportunity to be used by the Holy Spirit to love and to cover. So, Father, tonight as an act of our will, we submit ourselves as a body to you. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to flow through us as we pray to love and to cover the fields, to cover the harvest, to cover the souls, to cover the laborers, Father, to cover the entire process so that your house is full. So use us as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Moya rade gidre te veja barata sedra tavarro bobro de drita valarabaca e barade gedidre te gerata sibro te la tabar e che larvaro Obra anda la de quebra ta sidre te vejo bobro e didre evra alo bola la de geta. Mandre de geba barro bobro te sia roto to jese que tela. Evra basile de cabarre te se tarra ta si te le de be edre te vaje dibre de se. Le la gale de be dipa la rabavande le de minda la rabom bro. Onde de grite che sete esa carre e tidre te je sobra da ca e le tiebra angarro nondre demba embra tidre te vejo bobra de se tidre te verro bola radava quebra de didre te ebra tassarro torro bossile te vejo songla radava andembre te sidre te Ebra adidre et evra baqueta rete sidre tejo dor robo brota. Morra balada de queda dar robo brade didre te va ba 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 radata. Larva seda larava do bobro de grita tar robo brade didre te ve. Eja salana minte kenia cola ravatrite bebrate sedra tavarro todo. Dovrete ebra da gedidre te veja barro bobrota sidre te verra patar rebequete nera nekite le debra te sedra tavarro bobro e debria te calura grande ina mandambe le rechembride che te terra patala tavarro bobrota E bobre te serro bobro de dibre te verra ba che la ravato mole de be dibre de che roto dre te che va la te berita carro dota mobra de degria ta la da che robo bra ta sarro bobrite che roto de di che te berro bossalare che già sa te rabata membra de che dire te verro bufrite si dire te sciò erra tale dibra da se te robo bro de di te che rabata imbra nadandre de che robo brita sarre te serba te le religie de te Che ratta sedria ta vraba tedre te bebrode di drita varrobonda Imbiera namandre enki verre e de kita vataba la tesha sakala to sublo to vedete Ule de beti ke le tebra ata ke va paraba tedra te kite le te dotoro
Barume te palma santa
de chi si vede carpa sola ta varre be che
serure nelle curra passi di le batarra batore berre che ti ata serure nelle la massa mandondo re che di le bassa tarra batarra bata e la carra ha tu re be e de barra pure be le mano non cote te
narre de chi dre te
de bassa sotto re be te sedere cosso te de la mar E la mode è la barrosto rechisti di dire. Serore della carrabassa e delle rechisti di dire. Sciarromo rebele di dire, ananana macandon gote di dire. Serore della rabatta sulle vestire di che la barrata. La rojo rebele di ananana carrara rabandura barrata di dire. Che tu sotto di dire che se te te ste de barrosto barre chi. Roma sandere dire le chi se dire le cose e le parlo tutto dire le chi dire le cose passare sendo rivedime nella tua matarro mondo sotto di divide vale chi lo che se dire le vesce a rabata sarubar mahanana la casi di dire le rabba buco di berro patire bittine delle betto sotto la matro sotto la chiude nasce tremendo orlo manda e alle chi le fanno mosso tu dero le chirite le vera massa la battere le ridicchia alleluia 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 thank you father thank you father thank you holy spirit you are moving in our midst you are to the Father for the saints. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Saro kore kiri tere karabaku. Le moro borri bili bili yasta kore ne kano kuro ne ki. Maro re 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 manda anda ne bili ye re re. Dara re re mo kuro mo karre kiri bili yasta. Se kore re 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 kasha kore re 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 basta kore re 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 basta.
Soto rabaka sata la rabaka sete di amasata. Soto rabaka sata la rabaka. There is a stirring. There is a stirring in your midst that I myself have ordained for this time and this season. Set yourself apart during this time and know that in the night season I will visit you. In the morning season, I will visit you with fresh rhema, with fresh revelation of my presence, and you will birth it. You will give voice to it. It is the time for my people to arise and to walk in the calling that I've ordained you to walk as kings and priests of the Most High God. But it's your mouth. It's your unction that I've placed in you that will make that difference in the earth. So set yourself apart during this time. Be my vessels that will bring the change that I have desired from the very foundation of the earth. You will be visited, and don't think it's strange, but know that I have called you to be my difference makers in the earth. Those change agents, when you decree and declare something as my word has said, it will be established. But it is your mouth in concert with my spirit that will allow these things to manifest. So set yourself apart during this season, knowing I desire to use you to birth nations, to birth people groups into the kingdom of God like never before. It is your time. It is your season. Arise and walk in the fullness of your kingly anointing that I've ordained for you during this time to be my mouthpiece in the earth.
Does anyone else have a word, an impression, or a thought? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I just had the impression of a lot of open doors, and you know, the word says that Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So there are people who are open. There are people who are going to be open to receive. And so we definitely need to pray. We need to be ready. And we ourselves need to be open. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit ourselves to do what he wants us to do and go where he wants us to go. Just
open doors. Amen. Open doors. You know, the one thing that Michelle just said, that the Holy Spirit does not have the authority in the earth to move outside of a yielded vessel, a man. Because that's the way God set it up in the very beginning. So he needs our agreement, our availability for anything that the Holy Spirit or that God wants to do in the earth by the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the power that does it, but we have to initiate it. And that is the main word, is initiate. We are the initiators. He comes alongside and fills in where we don't have any power. There's no power in this hand. But when I stretch it out, the Holy Spirit is there, and he does the work. He is the helper. So don't be afraid to initiate. Start something. You know, get something started, whether in here or on your workplace, in the restaurant, in the mall. Start something so that the Holy Spirit can come alongside and be our helper. Amen. Amen. And also, Jesus said that if we would look, the fields are white with harvest. Now, at that particular time, he didn't say go into the harvest and bring it in. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send. So not everybody's going to go, but everybody can pray. Pray for the harvest. Pray for the hearts to be open. Pray for the eyes of their understanding to be open. Pray for the opportunities that other people would have to minister life to them. They may not receive it from you, but any word that goes into their ears is a seed that is planted. And God said he is faithful that to his word. And it would come to pass. It would produce what he sent it for. Praise God. You can say two things.
As I was praying, I was reminded how a lot of the people came to the house of the Lord in the day, in the beginning. And I know that Jim prayed many hours laying flat of his stomach on the floor, praying and praying and praying and praying. Cynthia Duncan Hartman lived down the street from where our church was, and she was praying about going to a church, and God said, at the one at the end of your street, and she's like, what church? So many people came because we didn't go out and invite them, and I'm not saying we're not supposed to go out and do that, but I know that the prayer, when you can't go out, if you're driving from one point, I mean, it takes a while to drive from one place to another in Austin. Just be praying in the Spirit, praying for Austin, praying for Botswana, whatever you're praying for. But if you're praying for the harvest of Austin, you can, as you know, Jim used to go all, he would pray in the Spirit nearly every time we'd get in the car. Now, if I would interrupt him from time to time, ask him a question, he would answer it, and he'd go back to praying in the Spirit. So it's not like you have to get down on your knees at home to pray. Now, you may not be wanting to get into some heavy intercession on the road because, you know, sometimes it gets kind of strange there. But was just reminded of the fact that Jim prayed so much in the beginning of House of the Lord, and how so many people came, and we didn't, I don't know where they came from. They would just either, I guess somebody would tell them, or somebody would, they just would pray and wanting to go, and God would send them to the house of the Lord, and that's how a lot of them got here. And we still have fruit today from Cynthia obeying God, you know, just from us praying.
I want to warn you. I don't know if warn is the right word. But in the very near future, we're going to be opening up kind of an open-ended prayer meeting. It may be Wednesday after a short assembly. We'll just open it up and we'll pray for an hour. And then as you need to go home or go do something else, you'd be free to go. But if you want to stay all night, I'll be here to stay with you. But it's very, very important and very, it's the heart of God right now for us to intercede for Austin, for the souls in Austin, in Texas, in the United States, in Botswana, and around the world, all other countries. Those things that God has placed in our heart, it is very important that we continually lift them in prayer. Continually. And we're going to, Michelle will be teaching more in depth on intercession and travail. It's not, again, it's not a spooky thing, but it is a real thing. It's not a ministry. There is no office of intercession or travail. Everybody who will yield, God will use. The operative word there is yield. Because if you don't want to, if you want, you won't. if you won't, you won't. So, be in prayer about praying. When and how God moves on you to open your spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to move. Don't forget our maps over here on the wall. If you have a tug in your heart about a certain place, just go put your hand on it and pray in the Spirit. Call in the souls. Call in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Sunday night, I walked around the mall. I'd run out of cards, so I was just continually calling in those that God has already been ministering to, has already opened their eyes, and those that would come into the kingdom that are receptive, that we would go to those people. But as you walk out or you walk by the maps back there, if a particular area of Austin, there's an Austin map, your neighborhood or a particular city in Texas or any one of those scenarios, put your hand on it and call it into the kingdom of God. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I would say if anybody wants to stay tonight and pray or a little bit longer, if you still got something turning in your spirit, don't turn loose of it until you know that it's been accomplished. Other than that,
good evening. As I was standing over there praying, I just kept hearing in my spirit, keep claiming God's goodness. Keep speaking God's goodness. You never know who's listening. You never know who's watching. You never know what someone's been through. And I feel like God talks to me a lot. I just didn't know how much he did. I thought I was talking to myself. But when I realize and people come back to you and they say things to you like, hey, man, I'm glad you shared that story because it helped me. And you're thinking that, man, why did I share that anyway in the first place? You have to keep speaking God's glory, regardless to what you're going through. And for the last few weeks, I've been getting calls from my friends asking me whether they should get divorced or not. And I'm like, God, why me? Why are they asking me? Don't they know I've been divorced? Don't they know? My wife said, it's because you've been through it and you're not afraid to tell your story. So God is using you. And I talked to an army buddy of mine for the last 3 days, and he's one of the gentlemen who's going through some things with his wife. And he called me today, and he said, I don't know what's going on, brother, but I must be closer to God out here in Washington because I just keep talking to him. I'm higher up. I said, I don't know what it is either, but he's got you separated for a reason, and he wants to talk to you, so keep talking to him. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, special. Just tell him how you feel, and he'll listen to you. And he said, well, man, I just want to thank you for listening to me and you talking about it and you being who you are, because seeing my brother go through it, I know I'm good. I said, well, keep on doing it. So I would say that to you, say, just keep claiming God's victory. You never know who's watching. You never know what fire you're lighting. I sat in a college cafeteria area today with some of my fellow classmates, and we spent 30 or 45 minutes talking about God and religion. I've never done that sitting there, and I'm talking about young people. These kids are 20 years old, 21 years old, and then they start to tell stories about being raised Catholic, being raised Methodist, and how they've been turned off by religion and not understanding the love of God, people claiming to be atheists or agnostic. And I'm just sitting there like, hey, I'm not about all that religion. I love God. I believe in God. I believe what his word tells me. I don't get wrapped up in religion. If it's not love and it doesn't feel like it comes from God, then it's not of God. So don't let anybody tell you what your relationship should be. If you start talking to God, he'll build the relationship in you. And if it's of God, it'll begin to bear fruit. So keep claiming God's victory because you never know who's listening. Thank you.
Well, if you want to stay and pray some more, you're welcome to. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Call you blessed. Whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. You are appointed at this time for the good works of the kingdom of God. And you are surrounded with favor, and everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because you are the children of the Most High God. Amen. You're dismissed.